Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to episode 80 of the Car Wash. On today's show, did Kaiser Chiefs prove everyone wrong? The latest in what's happening in the transfer market and Pirates snub Bafana. Whether you're tuning into on slpodcast.co.za, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or Mahi King 96.7's Game Time, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sean Roberts, and of course, I'm not alone. Please welcome my good friend and the second best looking guy on the podcast, Mr. Teko Madise.
Hey, Seanisto.
How's it, brother?
I'm also cool and still sexy and fantastic. How are you?
Good to have you on board, my brother. But we do start with the joke of the day, which is possibly everyone's favorite part of the podcast. But here we go. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with the fear of speed bumps? You slowly get over it. Anyway. You like it, mate?
You're so stupid.
Thank you. Well, from there, we move into the pole position. Pole position is the segment where we ask our fans and our supporters club a certain question and get voice note replies. This week, we ask you, did Kaiser Chiefs prove everyone wrong by making the final? This is what you had to say.
Kaiser Chiefs prove abantu abaningi wrong.
No one was expecting Kaiser Chiefs to reach the final, especially after we know that Kaiser Chiefs didn't sign any player.
I think it was proven wrong kakhulu because they want this thing.
Yeah, well, it proved abantu wrong. That's Kaiser Chiefs. I think right now we show them that we are the best team in South Africa.
We have proved everyone wrong because of the criticism that they've been saying about Kaiser Chiefs. I think the boys got motivated. So now it's in their hands to do it for the team and the badge.
Kaiser Chiefs surprised Kaiser Chiefs. Kaiser Chiefs surprised their supporters. Kaiser Chiefs surprised Kaiser himself. Kaiser Chiefs surprised even Cyril Ramaphosa. He's saying nothing about Kaiser Chiefs because he's still surprised wherever he is.
So there you have a text. I mean, a resounding in favor of that Kaiser Chiefs did surprise everyone or make everyone or prove everyone wrong, I should say. But you know, it's sort of blossomed their league, if you know what I mean. They've had obviously very, very difficult and disappointing campaign in terms of the league, and I would say they've surprised everybody in terms of how well they've done in the CAF, but it still doesn't take away their poor performance in the league. Am I fair to say that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's just that, look, dude, like, me and you, everybody knows we're football fans, and we've got nothing against any team, and except you and Chipa have got our own story. But I strongly believe that Sean, maybe I'm too harsh. Being in the final doesn't necessarily mean that you won. The way the conversation is going, it's like Kaiser Chiefs has won the Champions League. They haven't.
I need to be careful, right?
You know what I'm saying? It's like we're speaking about, did Kaiser Chiefs prove everybody wrong? Everybody wrong by doing what exactly? Because they haven't won anything. You know, and like you said, it still doesn't justify, or not even justify, you know, for make us forget the poor season that they had.
Yeah.
Or the struggles that they had. The only thing that was going right for Kaiser Chiefs and that helped them actually to get into and sneak in into the top 8 was the Champions League.
Yeah.
You know, and with that also goes with luck and good fixtures as well, and they were fortunate enough that other teams took the league form for granted then whenever they played Kaiser Chiefs in the Champions League, and then they bring in their B team.
Yeah,
only to struggle later on. I mean, but the fact is, yes, Kaiser Chiefs are in the Champions League final. Kaiser Chiefs are number 8 on the log. Kaiser Chiefs haven't won anything. So basically, Kaiser Chiefs haven't proven anything.
Yeah, it's an interesting viewpoint, and I tend to agree. And I spoke to Stuart Baxter after the game, and you know, he says it was messy but effective. and I understand what he's saying, but you know, it's the final in a couple of weeks and you don't want things to be messy, and I'm sure he's going to sort that out. But it's been a messy season, hasn't it? And I hope, I hope they are digging deep into their pockets for the transfer window, which I'm sure they are going to be. But you don't want to be hearing those words. It's messy, but yeah, it's effective. I get it. It's a tough game. We called the score, both of us. Called a 0-0 draw. And I think it's what you expect, you know, getting a scraping a 1-0 away leg win and then coming back and obviously just parking the bus, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, man, when you play such big games with no confidence, you know, whenever you sniff that opportunity, you make sure that you protect that with everything you have. And that's what KZN Chiefs have done in the second leg. You know, they know that we don't have enough in the tank to actually play with so much confidence and flair and all that type of stuff that we used to. And
do you think they're going to have that? I'm hoping they go into the final where they actually don't give a shit. Like, we've got absolutely nothing to lose.
Sean, this is Champions League. It's not going to happen. That's not going to be the case. And look, it'll be great if Chiefs win the Champions League. Now all big three teams have got the stars. It'll be great, but also for me is Chiefs, this experience will change how KZN Chiefs move forward. You know, I think that's the biggest win for me. From an outside looking in, I think that's the biggest win for me when KZN Chiefs survived all this adversities and challenges to get to the Champions League final with all the players that are struggling locally. And having to manipulate the system and find ways how to keep the guys that they don't necessarily need and make them effective within the system that doesn't necessarily work. And then here you are, you're in the Champions League final, the league season is over, the other players are ran out of contract. So for me, those challenges, they actually going to help KZN Chiefs the foundation moving forward. So whether they win it, if they win it, it's going to be great, but we know that we're not going to hear the end of it until the next 10 years. But
and deservedly so, right?
Yeah, of course. But if they don't, they actually know how to get into those positions and win games. And they know how to treat away and home games, especially in this pandemic when there's no fans, where you can't rely on fans everywhere you go. Absolutely. I think this, for me, it's a big win for Chiefs.
Yeah, and I think as any neutral football fan will completely underestimate how big a game this is and how well the Chiefs have done to get here.
Yeah.
Especially as one of the gentlemen said in the pole position that they haven't been able to change their squad for 12 months.
Yeah.
And let's not forget that. As I say, we are neutrals and we can only hope for the best. It's going to be a massive game. But I think let's just move into the Champions League semi-final reactions. We called, I think you called 1-1, I called 0-0, I'm not too sure, I can't remember, but we did say it was going to be a draw and Chiefs just scraped through, and that's exactly what happened. And we also called a low scoring win for our athlete, and it's exactly what happened. So no real surprises there.
Nah. Look, you have Al Ahly that is just fresh from playing Bayern Munich. Their ambitions now, it's no longer to win Champions League, but to win that Club World Cup, where they were beaten by Bayern. That's the next step for them. So now you're playing against a team that have won Champions League more than anybody. They know how to win this. So they know how to manage games, and it's very difficult to beat them. And then you have also a coach that is as much as he's doing so well, he's not comfortable. He can't smoke cigars in his office because the demands are so high. So you always expect
he knew that taking the job.
Of course he knew that. And coming into and having to coach that type of a team, the demands are so high, and knowing how Peter is, I think it's a perfect fit for both of them. So it's gonna be very, very challenging for Peter. Not only for I don't think it's gonna be very challenging in the final for KZN Chiefs. I think it's gonna be more challenging for Peter because, you know, KZN Chiefs are coming in as underdogs. Everybody, if KZN Chiefs win, it's going to be the biggest party ever. If they don't, we move on like nothing happened. But imagine if Al Ahly loses to KZN Chiefs. You're going to be a problem.
And I like the way you say that, how it probably won't be Kaizer Chiefs beating Al Ahly. It'll be Al Ahly losing to Kaizer Chiefs. If that makes sense.
I think
I think it's Al Ahly's game to lose.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the way you said that. But let's keep with Chiefs. And this story is completely dumbfounded me. I'd like to get your opinion on how Chiefs have extended certain contracts by a month, because there's 9 players out of contract at Kaizer Chiefs, and we've gone through them in explicit detail. I think Bernard Parker is the only one really that's come out and said he's extended by a month. I find this bizarre in terms of the players that, in essence, you know, if you really want to be an idiot, you could hold Chiefs to a ransom now to say, right, well, if you want me to play in the Champions League, I want another 12-month contract.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's such a bizarre one, because you've extended your stay at Chiefs now, which minimizes your chances of getting another team, because now other teams are still in the market for improving their squad.
Yeah.
Especially the senior players. I mean, how would you react to this?
Look, Sean, thank we were very fortunate that we've never found ourselves in this situation.
Yeah.
Look, I think from the Kaizer Chiefs' point, I think it makes sense to approach a senior player like Parker, that business-wise, he would be able to understand, because he's been within the club structure system for such a long time. So having that conversation with him, it actually putting me at ease that, you know, I'm one of the guys that actually might, you know, have a new contract maybe 1 or 2 years, because maybe I don't want to see myself playing for a different team. The truth of the matter is, wherever Parker goes, nobody's going to afford him.
Of course.
You know, so now when you're looking at it, the situation where it's like, okay, cool, let me sign this 1 month to show my you know, my loyalty to the club, hoping that the team will do so once the time comes.
Yes.
And it'll be a better story if they win it. Here's the guy with 1 month contract, you know, captain of the team, wins the Champions League after such a pay. So it'll be a good story. And probably he'll be in a better position to renew and sign a new contract. But also it makes business sense. It's easier that way, because now also you're in a position where you don't want to destabilize the team. You don't want to change anything. You want everybody that is good within the camp, within the dressing room, to, you know, to bring that confidence in. And Parker's always been that guy within the Kaizer Chiefs structure, right? So I think, it's bizarre. It's weird, because we are in this situation where everything now that we're doing is new. But imagine, you know what I'll do? I'll take a chance. Like Sean, you say that you'll take 12 months. For me, I'll take a chance. I'm like, my guys, you must give me wages. Yeah, let's divide this weekly. Give me my money weekly. divide this shit by 4. if I'm on 120 net bracket or 200 net bracket, I'm telling you, Sean, I'm like, if I'm on 200, I'm like, hey, guys, listen. Let's do this.
Yeah, sure.
Give me 70 weekly.
Yeah, you've got every right to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure they will. You know, and I think one thing about Kaizer Chiefs, where we must give them credit, and I think we always have, is that they've been very good to their senior players.
Sean, you're right. Sean, it's just that before you finish your sentence, I just want to remind South African football lovers and footballers, guys, loyalty in football doesn't exist in South Africa.
In football in general?
In football, grand in general, it's only 2% of teams that actually treat their players right.
Yeah.
Guys, if Ramos can go via Zoom, if Sergio Ramos can leave Real Madrid via Zoom, guys, who are you?
Yeah, true, man.
You know, so yeah. For me, it's yes, I understand Parker's position where he is right now, and he still wants to remain with the team. But there's a lot of players right now that are in a very tricky situation because of the pandemic, because of teams are, you know, cutting down on expenditures. So people are actually in a very, very, very tight situation. Mm-hmm. But also we tend to enslave ourselves by not trusting our talent enough and giving not necessarily our soul, but, you know, giving our freedom to the club to do whatever they pleases with it. And whenever they're done doing so, they give it back. We don't know what to do with it. So that's why we find ourselves in a situation where we hardly get talented players free. They're never free. Like, you're always bounded by contracts. Before you even finish this one, there's another contract waiting for you. So there's no time for you to actually look back and say, what's my value?
Yeah.
And I think this is a position where most of the guys, especially in Kaizer Chiefs' position, they need to look at this as a bargain, you know, that they can negotiate with. Win the Champions League, come back and demand what you need. Because the truth of the matter is, Kaizer Chiefs, every group stage, every stage they're in the Champions League, they're getting paid.
Sure.
So Kaizer Chiefs right now, they're nice. They can buy me a new shot. And come back.
Maybe you. They can't afford me, bro.
No, they can. Trust me, they can. No, Kaizer Chiefs can. Kaizer Chiefs can afford it. Just that they spend smart. But it's just that Kaizer Chiefs are in the position that. But also as the Kaizer Chiefs as well. Now that you know that you've got a lot of guys that are not doing shit for your team, so it's gonna be very tricky to see how Kaizer Chiefs are gonna treat their senior players come new season.
You know, and you made a good point previously. You said that. That where would Bernard Parker go? Who can afford him? And that's obviously a good position for players to be in at Kaizer Chiefs, but not the best position if you've become accustomed to a certain lifestyle over the years and a certain income, especially if you're at an age of 31, 32, where you should realistically have 3, 4, 5 years left, and then all of a sudden you find yourself at a Chipper or a Seko Kune or whatever. I mean, that's a tough one, right?
Sean, that's where you don't want to go, Chief.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I had this conversation not so long ago with Dennis Onyango and Tembezwa. I said to them, most of the players, I don't know, it wasn't out of context though. I said to them, most of the guys think, you know, moving from a big team that is fighting for honors because of game time and because of the age, they want to continue playing, they move to a smaller team, they think, you know, it's something that anybody can do. It takes a lot of sacrifice. Number one, first thing that you're sacrificing is finance. Your pocket becomes empty. Because the reality is nobody will afford you from a big team. So now when you're in Bernard Parker's position is, I'd rather still be around one of the biggest brand and find ways and things to do around there than go and deal with the devil that I don't know. Sukukuni, now I must bring my own training kit. I must wash my socks. Hey, we come to training. The training pitch is not paid. And now I must move to it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like I'll rather stick with these people that I know. Let's discuss my future. Yeah. Guys, I've been here for 10 years. What's your plan with me?
Yes.
Okay, cool. What are your interests as a player? Okay, my interest in this and this and this. Okay, let's see if us as a team, how best can we help you put you in that position? I think
that's enough, dude.
We don't.
That's the problem.
We don't. The problem. But the thing is also Sean, that the biggest mistake also that we do also as players is we think that we can still do it somewhere else.
Yeah.
We feel like, I'll play. I want to show them. You go to Sukukuni, my friend. The balls are flat. We're training with one ball. If it goes over the fence, you must wait. So now you're meeting with these new challenges as a senior player. They're annoying. You're meeting with these challenges that you don't need as a 35, 36 year old.
Absolutely.
In football. Those are the challenges that you're supposed to face at 19, 20 to make you stronger. So now you're meeting with these challenges where you're from a club where they were giving you things for free, new things every month, new sneakers. Even though those things don't mean shit, but to a footballer, it tells you that you've been taken care of. So I think for footballers, they need to really, really, really understand that not every grass is greener on the other side. So if you do find a good contract, because the reality is in South African football, you only have one opportunity to get your best contract.
Yeah.
Only one.
Yeah.
So once you get that, remember that at the end of the day, guys, we're playing football for money because you want something to sustain you after you have retired. Because at the end of the day, all of us will retire one day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's important. And I hope that a lot of these senior guys, and we all know who they are, have a plan B in place post-retirement. I'm sure they're busy working on it, but we've heard some horrific stories of, we don't need to go into it now, that's for another podcast, but of players not planning for the future and what can happen if that isn't planned properly. But
it's not this podcast. We're not doing that here.
No.
We've got no time for such. Got no time for such.
No. But let's move on to some nitty-gritty stuff. We're dealing with the transfer business. What's hot today? What's not, in my opinion? We've been speaking about these two guys recently, Kutumela and Khongwane from Maritzburg. Mm-hmm. Both gone to Sundowns. I've mixed emotions. Kutumela, I'm very happy for. I think it's a great move for him. Khongwane, I've spoken to you, Teko, quite a bit. He's probably mm-hmm. one of the very few players in South Africa that can make it in Europe, in my opinion. He's a little bit raw, but you give him 6 months and with some proper coaching in Europe, he'll be outstanding. And in my opinion, he has thrown that chance away now. And so I hope I'm proved wrong, but I don't know. What's your feeling on that one?
Look, man, you know I'm a Sundowns through and through, and I'll forever be honest about the team. And I'll forever be honest about what it takes to play for that team. It's easy to sign for that team. Easy. Have a great season.
Yes.
It's easy. You interest there. And also you wanna, as a footballer, you wanna win things. You wanna have medals. You wanna have something to brag about. We play this as much as we play for this.
But there's a time. There's a time.
Exactly. But now here's Kutumela that played for Orlando Pirates, didn't make it. Murray's back 3 years. Come back, have a great season. So you want to come back to those spaces where now all your friends are playing for senior teams. You also want to be part of that, right? Sure. And also gives you a fair chance to be part of the national team as often, because now you're forever there. You know, all your games have been televised. Murray's back, we televised 6 games. And those kids, 6 games are all big three home and away. So I understand the move. I understand Kutumela's move.
Yes, I get it.
Yeah. And with Khongwane, the thing is, they might come as a package. Because the thing is, you look at how Maritzburg plays, right? You look at the threat going forward. You cannot think Kutumela, not think Khongwane, if you really, really watch Maritzburg plays.
Sure.
Yeah? So now it's one of those things where 2 weeks ago they said Khongwane is not for sale.
Yes.
Yeah, but when the right check comes through, you can well, we can talk.
Well,
about
let me ask you this question: do you think Kutumela and Khongwane would start?
No.
Yeah. So that's my point.
Here's what I'm saying to you. My answer to that is, I don't think they will start, right? But I think if they have the right mentality, they can actually succeed.
Yeah.
I've seen Sundowns swallowing so much talent because players, when they get there, they think they've arrived.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy, like I said, it's easy to get there. To play is a different story.
Yes, correct.
So to play is here's the thing. I can't, if I'm playing for Chipa, Sundown signed me, I can't train the way that I was training at Chipa United.
Yeah, of course.
You know, because at Sundowns you find players that are training the way they play. So I need to train the way I need to play. And sometimes that's not good enough. I need to find out what is it that I need to do more. So it's just, it requires more. And I've with Kutumela's maturity within the game, and I've seen that he can actually play, especially in that position that Sundowns are very struggling with, to get somebody there from a number 10 position. With Khongwane, the problem is this boy hasn't, I don't think he has breaking out really, really, really. So now with the good structure, with the good coaches, with good quality players around, he might be the next Jalulile.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So it's that investment taking a chance. But I'm just saying, like you said, if he goes there to Sundowns, there you must understand, my friend, what type of work that needs to be put in. That's all.
Yeah, I agree. There's a couple of interesting ones. Fumpo Kekana offered to Swallows. So obviously that would be a loan. Didn't he sign like a 5-year deal extension not so long ago at Sundowns?
Yeah, but was it 5 or 2+2?
I heard it was 5 sounds ludicrous to me, but yeah. 2+2 sounds a bit more realistic.
Yeah, it just in South Africa, you know how we are in contracts. We never come out like in Europe where we'll say this and this and this. But for me, it's gonna be tough. It will be weird to see that happening. To see Hlompho in a different jersey, it will be very weird to see that. And I'll honestly understand as a footballer if he wants to go somewhere else and play, because I was in that position before. So I understand the feeling. And sometimes you realize...
Lots of give, right?
Yes. And sometimes you realize once that move is done that it was unnecessary. Mm. I promise you, you realize later on that this move was really, really unnecessary. Unless you're doing that because you just want to continue playing, not because you want to achieve something.
Yeah. Because are you saying it possibly not a good move?
It's not a good move.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm saying to you. That guy has always been the topic the whole season when Mamelodi Sundowns was still doing good.
Yeah.
Klompo was equally relevant than the players that were playing regular.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. The backroom guys are just...
You know?
Yeah.
So now when you move to Swallows, is Klompo hasn't carried the team alone in a while.
Yeah.
He's always been surrounded by good players for more than 10 years. It's fun that. Mm. So now you go to Moraka Swallows, where you players that haven't been coached for 2 years in this top flight, new players, young players. And of course, it will be fun because there are senior players there that are enjoying themselves. But you look at the senior players that are there, they've moved around a lot. So now you come here as a Thompokekana that's from, you know, a very stable place. You know, you're from a steady relationship, no kids outside, you know, those type of things. No kids outside, no stories.
No drama.
Yeah. And now you're going to this chick that has been for the streets. Now she's trying to come down a bit but everybody knows who she is.
That's a great analogy, right? Oh,
so for Klompo is if he wants to continue playing and enjoying the game, great, let him go.
Yeah.
But if he wants to prove something, that's not a right move.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You know, I would stay put and win a couple more medals before I leave and break some records, but it's always up to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Evan Drazike to Seko Kune, bizarre one. I rate him highly. I thought he would have been at a bigger team, but that's up to him. Keegan Buchanan to AmaZulu, very good signing. We like Keegan.
We really like Keegan. I think he'll fit him
with Benny, yeah. Monopule Saleng, the NFD top scorer, has gone to Pirates. Sofisa Ngobeni to Sundowns, but we think he's going to stay on loan at Celtic.
So,
and don't forget the Chiefs guys that are heading back after the season away because of the FIFA ban. So, I think we're going to see an improved Chiefs. We've got into it in depth, and they're going to make a couple of big signings, I think. So let's keep our eyes and we'll keep you all updated with that. But for now, let's move on to the international news desk. We are joined by Soccer Laduma's international news correspondent, Kurt Buckerfield. How are you doing today, Kurtie boy?
What's up, Sean? Teko? How are you guys?
Hey!
Good, my friend.
I'm good, man. Long time, boys.
Hey, welcome back.
You're too busy for us, or what?
Sorry, guys. Sorry, just running an international section, yeah.
Oh, here we go. Jesus.
Busy with the Euros, bro.
Yeah.
How crazy is the Euros, man? What's happening? Talk to us. Round of 16 review. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, where do we even start? I think, for me, the game that I was most looking forward to was that England game.
Yes.
But I think... The games that delivered was that Spain, Croatia.
Whoa.
I mean, yeah. What was it? 8 goals scored. And then France, Switzerland. France obviously getting knocked out on penalties. Incredible. I couldn't believe how good the football was. And I think we normally associate international football with slower, more boring, maybe more conservative, but it's been absolutely incredible. Yeah, great to watch.
Even the Ukraine-Sweden game was epic.
Yeah, I mean, just end-to-end. End-to-end stuff. It's the football we love. So yeah, it's great also to see the fans back at the stadiums. I think that's been awesome. You can feel the impact that they have on those games as well.
Oh, it's been absolutely fantastic. I wish we could do that back in the PSL, but obviously not.
Yeah.
And then what's happening with Mbappe? I mean, there's a lot of stories going around. His future, the players' families are fighting off the game. The players are fighting during the game.
Yeah, I mean...
He's walking alone after his penalty miss.
Yep.
What is happening?
So I think, Sean, French media for a while now have pointed out that there's been this cloud hanging over Mbappe for quite some time. His future's uncertain. He was told by PSG's president, the PSG president said this in an interview, that Mbappe would never be sold and that they would never allow him to run his contract down. And I think that somebody with a personality like Mbappe isn't going to like that. Then he goes into the Euros having a public fallout with Olivier Giroud. Giroud says in a post-match interview that Mbappe, or players in that French team, aren't passing to him as much as they should be. Mbappe takes that personally, and apparently during the camp, like days before the tournament starts, wants to call a press conference to talk about Giroud's comments. Now that's obviously completely obscene. And then Mbappe obviously performs poorly during the tournament, doesn't score a goal. I think he left the tournament being the player with the most shots at goal without scoring. So for a while, things have been going on. French media suggests that Mbappe has been negatively influenced by Neymar. And I know it's probably harsh to point fingers at Neymar, but obviously
we
must remember that younger players are easily influenced. And Mbappe was a teenager when he joined forces with Neymar at PSG in 2017. And he has picked up a few Neymarisms, if you will. The dribbling style sort of changed. It's like it's quite stop-start, standing on the ball. Where Mbappe is a speedster, and that's his strongest suit. League One football obviously isn't on our TV screen, so we have to kind of go on what is being widely reported. And what is being widely reported is that there's been this attitude shift in recent times. And if you think back to Lionel Messi at Barcelona, he had an incredible relationship with Ronaldinho. But the club decided to move Ronaldinho on in 2008 when Pep Guardiola joined, because they feared that he would negatively impact Messi. Although Messi and Ronaldinho got on so well, they made that decision because they knew the talent that they had, and they didn't want to risk that. And I think that, like I said, it's probably harsh to point fingers at Neymar, because I don't think that he would be doing that on purpose. But I feel like there is something that's changed in Mbappe's game. And they've pointed out that, 2018 he was the golden boy. Right now, things don't seem to be going very well for him.
That's football, right?
Exactly.
You're at the top, you're at the bottom.
100%.
It's just life.
Yeah. And if I had to guess, I would say that I think Mbappe does want to leave PSG and probably doesn't see a way for that to happen. And I do think that that's probably affecting him. He also played a lot of football last season.
Yes.
A lot of football, and through injuries too. Keep an eye out for that. I've seen the most recent reports, and I'm talking like this morning, is that Mbappe doesn't want to sign a new deal at PSG. His contract ends next season in 2022. And he wants to see that contract out, but that would cause major trouble for him. In the past, they've treated players pretty poorly when that's happened. I remember Adrian Rabiot being thrown on the to the sidelines for 6 months, didn't kick a football. And I have no doubt that they would treat Mbappe the same.
That's football though. He's got to deal with
100%. So he has to make that decision. I think that they would do that to basically say, well, if you aren't going to sign a new contract, you won't play, to kind of put the ball in his court.
He'll still be getting £300,000 a week.
100%. So he'll be happy. 6 months rest, and next season at Real Madrid or wherever he goes for free.
But this isn't the first time that France have
no.
a bit of a stir in a big tournament. Yeah, it's bizarre.
2010, remember 2010?
That's
the Raymond Domenech, Patrice Evra players refusing to get off the bus to train.
Unbelievable.
And then the mutiny in the squad when Benzema and Valbuena had that falling out a couple of years ago.
Yes.
It's known to happen, let's put it that way.
What is it with the French?
I don't want to stereotype, but it's known to happen.
Wow. Jeez, man. Well, you mentioned Messi earlier. Is he a free agent now? What's happening there?
Yeah, so I was going to ask you, Sean. So his contract is officially up, right? So June was the last month of his contract. It's done. Technically, he is a free agent. Technically, he has no ties to Barcelona right now. We know that the club are trying to extend with him, and they are pretty confident that he will sign a new deal. But there are these financial regulations. La Liga president has spoken about it, saying that Barcelona need to reduce their wage bill if they are to keep Messi. So there is actually a small chance that Messi can't be afforded. I think they are trying to reach a solution. Who knows whether they will. But right now, Sean, I mean, you as an agent, tell me, well, what happens? Because he's done. I mean, right now, he isn't a Barcelona player.
Yeah, I mean, we could rewind 6 months. He could technically have signed a pre-contract somewhere as well.
In Jan, so, yeah.
Yeah, so that gets you thinking that he's, in my opinion, it's all smoke and mirrors and he will be a Barcelona player, because I do believe that other teams would have come with significant offers over the past 6 months and he would have made a decision. But it'll be very difficult to see Messi in another shirt. I know you probably would want to see him in another shirt, I guess. And maybe it'll be quite fun as a neutral to see him in another shirt. But I think he's Barcelona through and through. What do you think, Teco?
Yeah, I mean, he is. And I think if really, really Barcelona knew that they would actually lose him, I don't think they would lose him like this. And I think because of these conversations with him, it's been happening for such a long time. And you can also see also with the moves, your Aguero coming in, you know, it's trying to please the guys so that he can have a quality players. Because I think that's what he's been complaining about. For us to win Champions League, we need good quality players. And they try to do that, but also keeping him as well. So for me, I do believe that he will probably be announced in a couple of days that he has signed a new contract, because I don't think he'll go anywhere else.
Yeah, I just want to add to that. And for me, I think what's interesting is that Messi has not publicly said that he's going to sign a new contract. That he hasn't publicly said that he's going to sign a new contract at Barcelona. And that's interesting to me, because I feel like... for the club and for Messi and for everybody to avoid this kind of speculation. I mean, the fact that they've let it get to this point for me is quite wild. But for Messi to not have said something, I don't know, that could prove to be quite telling. And Teco, on your point, the signing of Sergio Aguero, I think that the club have to kind of make these moves. And I feel like Joan Laporte, the president, has to come out and say Messi will sign a new deal. And he's we are confident he will sign a new deal.
Yeah.
And then make that signing of Aguero. But who knows what Messi's thinking? Let's not forget that last season he was under the impression that he could leave the club. And they did absolutely everything, along with La Liga, to keep him. Messi could have been giving them signals that, yes, I'll sign a new deal, and then, you know, allow it to get to this point where he's actually technically free to walk away. I don't know. I'm just speculating, but it's interesting to think about.
Yeah, man. It's just that you hear a lot of stories that his father's been, you know, in and out of Spain. Going back to Argentina because of the in camp for that Copa America thingy.
Yes.
So now the father's being in and out of Spain, so which means the conversation still goes on. And knowing how the father reacts, if he was going to move somewhere else, you know Messi's father.
Not personally.
I think somehow he was going to slip up and say something. So it's just that for me, I strongly believe that yes, what happened last season was very emotional, and the person that was causing all that thing is not there anymore.
True. Yeah.
So now probably maybe now there's a different type of energy within the camp as well. And they've been speaking about giving Messi the two more years. And let's see. I think it's just that for the first time since I've known who Messi is no longer a Barcelona fan. But I think let's wait and see for how long.
Yeah.
Because it'll be very interesting to come back next week again, have a podcast, and still Messi's still a free agent. That would be scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting times, bro. But yeah, let's just go into the quarterfinal draw for the Euros. I mean, if you're an England fan, you'll be licking your lips here, I reckon. I mean, this is probably the best opportunity they're going to get to win a serious trophy for the near future. But Belgium, Italy, huge game. Switzerland, Spain, massive. Czech, Denmark, you'd expect the Danes to win. And then obviously England, Ukraine. Curtie boy, what do you reckon?
My prediction is that England are going to get to the final. I said it at the start of the tournament that England are going to win.
At the start, and this guy called Teco Medise, I don't know if you've heard of him, said that Germany are going to walk all over this.
I didn't say they're going to walk all over. I said Germans are slow starters, dude. You know how... Did you see how they struggled? Even though they won those games, you know, the games that they qualified, they always came back. You know, they were very, very slow starters. But to be honest with you, everybody it's in the that was in the group of death, they all died. They're all out.
Yeah, you're right.
No, so yeah, Sean, I'm looking forward to it. I think that Spain-Switzerland game is look that is going to be a great match. I think Spain also started really poorly, but they've found a way to the back of the net. And then Italy-Belgium, obviously a huge game. Italy have been really impressive, but needed extra time and to go through. Who did they play? Italy now, they just played Austria. And then Belgium, I think Belgium, look, everybody always likes to speak of Belgium as underdogs and maybe this is their year. But I do think that they actually have a really good chance. They looked pretty solid against Portugal. Towards the end of that game, it was kind of gung-ho from Portugal. So they had a few chances to score. But, you know, they have a good side, very good side, Belgium. It will be interesting to see whether Eden Hazard and Kevin De Bruyne are now injured. I don't know whether they're going to miss this game. And then Denmark and Czech Republic. Denmark have been pretty good over the last two games, scoring four goals in either... in each of those games, rather. No, so I can't wait to see it. The thing that kind of makes me happy is that a lot of big guns have dropped out. And this really gives a smaller nation the chance, a smaller footballing nation at least, the chance to win the tournament. But yeah, like England. But no, I'm hoping England win it, honestly. Great. Can't wait, boys.
Your money's on England, eh?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Tseko, your money's on?
It's in my pocket. No, look, man. Look, I watched England games. It's just that I'm still struggling to see them, you know, being the guys that can actually go to the final and actually win it. Merely because of how they play, and you look at the teams that have played against. I think against Germany, it was probably one of the toughest games that I've played this far. Because they had Scotland, my friend. You can play Scotland, you know. It wasn't an easy game, but tactically, with or player to player, you know, England always had a better players. And for me, is after winning this game, you know, Germany's game, I think for me, it will be very interesting to see how they continue from there. Because you look at how even they played against Germany. It was the first time actually seeing England from the first minute. You know, they started playing high up, pressing, you know, doing all the right things. It will be very interesting to see if with the confidence that they have, especially after winning such a big game, how they're going to use that going forward.
Yeah.
So, but it's just that also my favorites are out. So, hey.
Yeah, guys. Just remember what I said about Jack Grealish all those months ago. Look at the impact, boys.
Yeah, you're right, eh?
Yeah, 100% you're right.
Quality player.
No, you're right. Like, he comes in, he changes just the feeling and the complexion of the game. And yeah. No, I see him. I see him.
I see you.
All right, Curdy. Thank you, my brother.
Cool, guys.
Soccer Dreamers International News Correspondent. Have a beautiful day, my brother. We'll see you soon.
Cheers, fellas. Cheers, guys. Enjoy.
Sharp, Curdy.
From there, we move into the fact that Pirates have said no to Bafana Bafana. Pirates have refused to release three of their star players, being Vincent Pule, Shekho Fatso Mabasa, and Bongani Sam, for the upcoming COSAFA Cup. Pirates say a grueling season balancing responsibilities between the domestic front and on the continent loaded our players much, and as such, the Soweto club will not be releasing them for COSAFA duty, with Bafana Bafana fearing they remain at high risk of injuries. Our club participated in both the CAF Confederations Cup and a highly compacted PSL fixture list over the past 8 months, mostly playing 2 to 3 fixtures every week, said the Pirates letter. This loaded our players much more than the recommended levels for professional footballers. In particular, the players that have been called up suffered a number of injuries during this period and remain at high risk. SAFA has since accepted the reasons cited by the Buccaneers why their players will not participate in the regional tournament. Tekko.
They didn't have a choice. SAFA didn't have a choice. They had to accept.
Yeah, of course, man. What are you going to say? No. But it's the right decision, right? I mean, I don't think clubs do this enough, to be honest.
They don't. But also, it's look, I think, you know, as the coaches and the national team, they're always in a tough situation, tough position. Mm. But because now COSAFA's it's not recognized. It's not any other, you know, calendar whatsoever. So therefore, every time you need a good player to actually come in and strengthen your team, you will never find them, because the chances are those players play regularly in their teams. And you look at the fixtures as well. You look at the amount of football that these guys played, especially for Orlando Pirates. You know, it's a lot, and it's very risky as well. And you're coming in as an ambitious team like Orlando Pirates. You want to start well. You want to have everybody available.
Of course.
And like you said, not many teams are doing this. But I think if we really, really, really want the national team to come back and, you know, hey, days like your 96, whatever the case, but whatever, how the national team is to you, I think SAFA, PSO, and everybody that that's involved need to have a better understanding and a clear conversation as to the way forward. So that there's transparency within this, so that we know that in this type of situation we don't have to kopule mabasa and whoever and sell. You know what I'm saying? So there's that conversation that we have, but also I can go on and call Gadas that haven't even participated in a while. I understand Mabasa because he was injury prone and he's needed within the team. Sure. Sam is still young. You want this boy to get experience. You want this boy to play regularly because he hasn't played. Yeah. He played like six games in a season. So if there's a conversation around the table, I think these are things that can actually help. And also as a coach, you come in and say, the reason why I'm selecting Sam is I want Sam to be ready in 2022 for that position in Bafana Bafana. You know, I want him to get used to the system. I need this. But it's just that I think sometimes we select him because we want to. And Kosafa, for me, it's, guys, how many times Bafana Bafana won Kosafa? It doesn't mean to us. I don't understand why we even have this conversation about Kosafa. We a country that fucking hosted the World Cup. We one of the best leagues in the fucking continent. Yeah. We have better players, better paid players, and players. In fact, we have players that are doing great things. We should be talking qualifiers for the World Cup. We should be talking AFCON, not the f***ing Kosafa, because Kosafa's not going to give a shit. It doesn't actually give us a clear indication of where we are. Because you're playing against Lesotho. Lesotho has got probably a league of six teams. We're playing against Swaziland. Swaziland's got Mbabane Swallows and One Ras. That's all.
Yeah.
So now, once winning that, you actually think that, you're playing against also teams from Botswana that are playing at the Gravel.
Yeah.
So when you win again with the Kosafa, you actually think that, you know, you're at a certain level. What else after that? And then you think, okay, cool. Now we do have a team. Then you meet Senegal. You know, so I don't think Kosafa gives us anything. It doesn't give us any clear indication whatsoever. So if I was a coach of a big team that I'm preparing for a new season and fighting for honors, I wouldn't release my players.
No, it's interesting because I think this is a good segue into our next point here, where we have a snippet from the Kosafa show hosted by Mark Leeson and Nick Said and their colleague Valile Mlundu interviewed Dane Clate. And here's what he had to say about the draw and the importance of the Kosafa Cup.
You're saying Bafana, these are the type of tournaments that they need to use to build a stronger team going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if we look at plans going forward, I think these are the type of tournaments we need to use to unearth the talented ones and make them used to playing in the Bafana shirt. And obviously, there's a lack of continuity, I would say. You know, so I think this is a good stepping stone. I mean, the likes of Shalo Lilas, the Hotos, they all come from this tournament and into the PSL and their household names today. You know, so I think it's important for us to take this tournament seriously in terms of where we want to go and what plans we have for the future.
Okay, Teko, so a slightly different view. I understand what Dane's saying. I also understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose we need to meet in the middle somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand what he was saying in terms of that. For sure, the youngsters need to come through here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, here's one thing that I always have a problem with. We always compare ourselves with smaller footballing countries. Your Swaziland, your Namibia, you all surrounding. We never compare ourselves with the big guns. Your Nigeria, your Ghana, your, and we are a footballing nation that should be competing with those guys.
Absolutely.
We always rebuilding. How many times? I promise you, if you can go to Safa House, we've got probably like 7 or 8 Kosafa trophies. There's no continuation on that. We've been doing the same thing. We've got this Mandela Cup. We've been doing the same things for so many years, Chief. I played in Kosafa. I was recognized. Not that I was recognized in Kosafa, but I was selected in Kosafa. Yes, I played in Kosafa. And from Kosafa, I started playing in the senior teams. But that's a gazillion years ago. And with that, the only time that was a continuation was a foreign coach that came in. We had, on Kosafa, we had Joshaba, we got Jamasilela, Bernard Parker. Those are the guys that actually played in the World Cup. There was continuation. After that, there was nothing.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
now,
that's true.
Yeah, and also in that space, if you remember very well, Bafana was given, when Bafana was playing, everything stopped. So when Bafana had a friendly, 2 days, 3 days later, there will be a second friendly that, because at the time, Pereira had two teams. And on the second team, he was the local guys that are actually, you know, being exposed so that they can emerge with the senior guys in the first team to have one team that will play in the World Cup.
Yeah.
But you ended up having most of the local players playing there. So I know what COSAFA has done before when there was a plan. And I know what COSAFA has done after 2010 when there was no plan. Mm. So now we can't, I understand what Dane is saying, but you can't come back and speak about your Shalilis that are household names and your Hotos. Guys, they are playing in our country.
Yeah.
We're one of the best in this. Yeah. In this, we can't compare ourselves with Namibia when there are 16 teams win. No disrespect to Namibia, but there's a reason why they come to play here.
Sure.
So if we still have such conversations after 10 years, 21 years or 11 years of hosting the World Cup, we're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, Teko, I mean, this is why you get paid the big money, my friend. This is
No, we need to have a forum, my friend, and sit down and because the thing is, Sean, I think the problem is we always assume the plans of South African Football Association. We fans, we assume that, okay, they come in and say, they'll use a word. They'll say, we rebuild. We're like, we rebuild. Now we break down what rebuild is. So we're thinking that, okay, we need to start at COSAFA grassroots level. Come on, dude. SAFA will never do that. Mm. They even closed. There's no amateur football now. So what grassroots level are we talking about? And with COSAFA, which players could do it? Let me tell you. Let me make a practical example right now. We've got Olympics. Players need to go to Olympics and play.
Yeah.
Those are the people that we actually need to be looking at so that they can, you know, transition to the first team.
Yeah.
Bafana. Now you've got COSAFA. You've got off-season. You've got... Now it's off-season and there's a Carling Black label. So you can't pick anybody from KZ Chiefs and Orlando Pirates. And now you can't pick anybody from Sundowns because nobody from Sundowns will actually play in COSAFA. So now you're left with everybody else. You can't go to AmaZulu because they need to play Champions League. They need to prepare. So who are you going to go to? You can't go to Chiefs, but they've been fighting relegation and 80% of those are foreigners. So where are you going to go? That's what I'm telling you, that COSAFA is not going to do us any good because there's no schedule for that. It won't fit with anybody's schedule.
Yeah.
You can't go to any team basically because no team will actually release their players because we don't even have enough.
Yeah, man.
And if we do have enough, if you have two or three quality players within the team that played so many games because we need them, we don't have enough, we need to rest them.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying, that then there was a plan. And there was conversation that was had around the table. Now we don't have a player. We always assume. And I understand where Dane Clayton is coming from. Dane Clayton is speaking from a coach's point of view. Like, this is what we need to do, you know, from the grassroots level. I fully understand that. And I'm coming in, my friend, as a Ganda, and knowing that there's no plans at SAFA.
Yeah.
We need people like Dane in those boardrooms to actually have that kind of conversation. But for the fact that there's no conversation that we have, no team will release the players to actually strengthen COSAFA. And even if we do win COSAFA, those players will just have just 6 caps, 7 caps, and that's it. We'll never see them in the Bafana fold.
Yeah.
So
damn. Tell me how you really feel, Teko.
Oh, I love this podcast.
Quickly, we're gonna go into place your bets. Teko, I just want your Belgium versus Italy, who's going to win that?
I think it's going to be a draw. Italy will win via extra time or penalties.
Okay, I'm going for an out and out Italy win. Ukraine versus England?
England.
Yes, sir. And your favourite, Bafana versus Botswana?
I want to watch all the bees.
Oh, beautiful. Right.
No, Bafana should...
Yeah, of course. Let's move swiftly into this week in football history.
Today we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
In light of recent events this week in 2010 at the FIFA World Cup, Germany beat England 4-1. Not without controversy, of course. England had a goal not awarded after Frank Lampard's strikes rocketed off the crossbar and clearly landed over the line. With VAR, things may have turned out completely differently. This week in 2002, Brazil claimed a record 5th FIFA World Cup title after beating Germany 2-0 in the final, thanks to a magnificent performance by Ronaldo. He scored a brace and was awarded Man of the Match. This week in 1992, FIFA welcomed South Africa back into the international football fold after a ban of almost 31 years. Crazy.
Yeah.
Damn. talking about traveling back in time, let's move into the car of the week. This week we have Tim and Corsi Launcher's 2020 Grand Jeep Cherokee, an absolute peach of a car. The 2020 Grand Jeep Cherokee is comfortable, practical, and near luxury worthy for a family midsize SUV.
Yeah.
The Cherokee hauls 5 adults, plenty of stuff, and offers luxury-like features and a comfortable interior. It's the complete package of the midsize of the SUVs. The 2020 Grand Jeep Cherokee is among the best-looking SUVs despite nearly being a decade old. With style, class, and timeless proportions, the interior hasn't quite aged well as the exterior, but it remains high quality and comfortable with a good balance of screens and buttons or dials to make the functionality easier. Limited overland and summit models add fine leather, wood, and metal for the upscale feel and lets the Grand Cherokee punch well above its price bracket. It's impressive that in spite of all that ability, the Grand Cherokee can also steer and ride as well as it does. Thanks to unibody construction and well-designed independent suspension, the Jeep remains calm on the road without the truck-like bounding sound of the SUV. This comes at a 1 million Rand plus. Very expensive, but it's an absolute beaut of a car. I give it a 9 out of 10.
Yippee! They must give you one, eh?
Yeah, they must sponsor, Baba.
Yeah, but not in this pandemic, I'm telling you.
What they need to sponsor is your motivational quote. What is it?
Yeah! Speaking of such, I've been waiting for this for 2 weeks. I'm kidding.
Oh, man.
Listen, man. You know, I follow Danny Alves. I think there's a lot of sense when he posts and a lot of quotes that he puts in there. And I find it very, very fascinating all the time that he posts. He's just a funny guy. To me, he's like one of those guys that I can actually enjoy him in a dressing room, right?
Yes, sir.
And then he said, do you know what destroys human beings? He said, politics without principles, pleasure without commitment, wealth without work, wisdom without character, business without moral, science without humility, prayer without charity. You know, and then he says, good example for those who want to get out of social stupidity. So, good people out there, you know, we always want social relevancy, you know, and for those who want to get out of this social stupidity, please contact me on 078.
No, but it's true though, hey. I mean, this it can really take over your life.
Yeah, man, and I think this fits in well with what you spoke about, Safa. You know, politics and football and all those type of stuff. I think that's this was just one of those things that I felt like it'll fit in very well, especially after the car of the week. That
yes,
the
sir.
Interior you didn't speak so well of.
Thank you, Tekel. And guys, that is how we wrap up episode 80 of The Car Wash. Can you believe it? 80. Whether you have been listening on SL Podcast at Sirius.za, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or Machi Chem 96.7 FM's Game Time, thank you for tuning in. I've been your host, Sean Roberts, and that has been Mr. Tekel Madise.
Hey, my buta.
We will see you same time, same place next week. Shopping your cap.
Shopping your cap, sit and see.
Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL Podcast. Sizohlangana khona.